I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Maruba Dam in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, here in the continent of Africa. We continue apace to interrogate issues that relate to the history and even contemporary ones on the continent of Africa. And today we look at the British and how concentration camps in the continent of Africa. The British, as a colonizer, were present in the continent very early on, and her activities started in earnest even before the Berlin Conference. In the southern part of Africa, history will remind us of the Anglo-Boer Wars. And it is these Anglo-Boer Wars, and there was the first Anglo-Boer War, the second Anglo-Boer War. But we remember that it is out of these wars that what we describe as concentration camps were conceived by the British. Perhaps it is important to ask ourselves what concentration camps are. These were camps. These were designed and designated territories, most of which were then given a veneer of legality by the British Parliament or by the Home Secretary, designating them as places where malcontents would be kept under control and in a regimented area. And as war continued, these camps continued to be populated by individuals who were deemed to be resisting the British Empire. In southern Africa, you had camps of this nature in places such as Natal, which is on the coast toward the Atlantic, rather than toward the Indian Ocean. You had camps in the Cape. You had camps in the Orange Free State, what is now called the Orange Free State. They were concentrated in those areas. And it's always instructive that the British were very deliberate in the manner in which they chose the concentration camps. They were inhospitable areas, in areas where it was difficult to escape. The inhospitability was a factor in determining whether they would be used. They were designed in such a manner as to ensure that when you are interned in those areas, it would be very difficult to escape. And in the southern part of Africa, of course, they remained alive during the entire period of the Anglo-Boer War. And it's only after settlement that those who were interned in those areas were released. As if it was a trial, it is instructive that these concentration camps were always almost to be found. And my interpretation is subject to debate and subject to scrutiny. That the British were clear that there are certain territories which were meant to be settler territories. Settler territories to mean that the British who were resident in those areas never intended to leave, to go back to the mother country. And in areas such as Natal, if you go to the areas which was populated by the British, the intention was never to leave. They had farms there, they had translocated, and they were going to live there. And for that reason, anybody who resisted their presence was to be dealt with, and dealt with firmly and decisively. And the whole idea of the concentration camps was to dehumanize the people, was to demoralize the people, was to send a clear message to both the individual and the family that we were not going to tolerate anything in the way of rebellion at all. One can argue that what had happened in southern Africa by the British by way of concentration camps was also being prepared for another settler society, Kenya. The Republic, what is now known as the Republic of Kenya, was also a settler community where the British who came, particularly those who lived in the White Highlands, which was peopled by the Agikoyo of Kenya, never intended to leave. And when the struggle for independence started in earnest, And when the resistance started in earnest, then the British resorted to one of the most extreme methods of ensuring that those who were involved in the struggle for independence was controlled. It was a land question, and the Agikoyo of Kenya, normally referred to by European historians as Kikuyu, were in the forefront of the resistance of what is called Mau Mau. Mau Mau, historians suggest that was actually the reverse use of the word Uma Uma, which means live, live. So they reversed it and it became known as the Mau Mau struggle. And when the Mau Mau started, the warriors were as committed as they were committed in other parts of the world. What the British then did from the year 1952 to 1960s, that they separated particularly the men from their families and designated some of the most difficult areas to live in Kenya as concentration camps. Kamiti, Hola, Manyani, Lodwar, Mageta Island on what is known as Lake Victoria. In fact, whenever I think Mageta, because it's not too far from my rural home, I see it and I see these fellows who are ingenious. There was no way you could escape. Once you've been placed in that island, you are from Gekoyo land, which is nearly 600 kilometers away, even if you escape, where are you going to? And I can see the same idea that informed the creation of Robben Island in South Africa is the very same idea that formed the idea of Mageta Island. And what they did during that period, of course, is that people were denied their human rights, and I'm talking about human rights in a very broad sense. They were denied their humanity, they were denied food, or if they got food, was only for the sake of survival. And this continued throughout the British Empire, and for a very long time, many of these concentration camps remained alive. So the philosophy behind the concentration camps was manifold, but let me characterize a few of the underlying philosophy. The underlying philosophy was you were creating an environment where the leaders of the resistance movement were away from those whom they were leading. And physically, they were away, and emotionally, they were also demoralized. The design was that those who remained in the territories would be demoralized, so that if you came to Kenya and you removed Dedan Kimathi Washiuri and took him away to Kamiti, then you are destroying the Mau Mau movement. And you are telling them, if we have taken your very best, what can you do? It was also designed to separate families. And once they had separated families in that manner, it was also dismembering the society. And thirdly, it was also a way of ensuring that they were depopulating the population. They were taking the male of the population, and very few of the female gender were taken into these concentration camps. Remember also that the British model was also to put people in what were described as native or colonial camps, and some of them still exist. You would be removed from some of the most arable, some of the most fertile land, and you would be taken into these concentration camps, and the white settler would then use you as labor. This was the underlying philosophy of the British concentration camp. And it was easier, therefore, it was also a control mechanism, because once you've put people in a confined environment, then it becomes very easy to control them. It becomes very easy to ensure that the activities are monitored. And it is during this period that this idea of recruiting Africans or those who are in concentration camps to spy on one another by dint of giving them incentives. And this is how you then ended up with the British indirect rule of recruiting a few individuals from the communities and making them what were described as colonial chiefs. These chiefs were then privileged. It is their children who would go to school. It is their children who would find themselves being sponsored to pursue further education, and it is their children who would ultimately, in quite a number of cases, such as in Kenya, their children became the first leading politicians, became the first leading civil servants, and the philosophy worked and worked to good effect, particularly ensuring that the British administration thrived without being involved on a daily basis. Remember that in the concentration camps, those who are guarding their fellows, whether they were African, they were fellow Africans. They had been recruited, they had been given privilege, and they had been told, if you control your own, then we are going to give you material things. The philosophy of the concentration camps, whether they were in South Africa, in Kenya, or whether those concentration camps were to be found in different parts of the world, in the different oceans, the philosophy was one. Dislocate the leaders, separate the leaders, dismember society, depopulate society, leave the land available for occupation. And once you've done that, you've demoralized the population, you've indoctrinated the population, and you can dominate without any hindrance whatsoever. If there is a circumstances or a situation for which the word evil was created, or the word diabolical was created, it was the British concentration camps. Evil to the hilt, diabolical to the hilt, the manifestation of man's inhumanity to man, the British concentration camp. Thank you very much. We are discussing Africa. We are discussing her painful history, and we are discussing it today as we focus on the British and the concentration camps that she opened and reigned in the continent of Africa to good effect and to the detriment of the peoples of the land that they occupied. See you again as we continue with the conversations. Thank you very much.